This is The Guardian.
I'm Noor Haider, coming to you from Gadigal land, and this is the full story. At an anti-immigration rally in Sydney late last month, some people, unsurprisingly, donned One Nation branded T-shirts. Others were in libertarian gear. But pamphlets for another new populist political venture were being handed out to the crowd in the colours of Nigel Farage's Reform UK party.
We see the rhetoric that is growing in the UK being exported, taken up here and blended with our own long history of anti-immigration populism and minor parties.
So who is behind the group calling themselves Reform Australia? And what does its digital footprint reveal?
There are forces within the Liberal Party that are quite conservative-leaning and favour some of this populist rhetoric.
Today, investigations reporter Ariel Bogle and political reporter Sarah Basford-Canales on the right-wing group seeking to recruit at anti-immigration rallies. It's Tuesday, the 9th of December. Ariel, Sarah, welcome to Full Story.
Good to be here.
Happy to be here.
So many people would have steered clear of the city while the so-called Put Australia First rallies were on. But as a journalist and one with particular interest in this area, Ariel, you went there to observe and to report on what was happening. Can you begin briefly by describing what you saw and what the mood was like?
So Put Australia First in Sydney, it started in Belmore Park. It's in downtown Sydney near Chinatown. And at first it was a pretty small crowd. There were people handing out fresh Australian flags, boxing kangaroo flags.
United under one flag, but with multiple grievances.
Migration, digital ID and energy.
There was a speaker system playing The Pub With No Beer.
It's a long time away.
And the mood, I guess, was kind of jolly.
Pauline Hanson will be speaking at the Melbourne rally, so probably we'll get a bit more people there.
I would describe the crowd as slightly older, predominantly white. There were a mix of people there. And escorted by police, they started marching up through Chinatown towards Town Hall. There were chants of... referring to the conservative debater, I don't know what we want to call him now, who was killed a few months ago in the United States.
Well, Tommy Robinson has rose from the dead, and he's joined us here today. He sent us a video.
And once they reached Town Hall, the organisers played a clip from Tommy Robinson.
I wish I could have been there with you today.
Who is a far-right activist, anti-immigration activist in the UK, who has a lot of global notoriety and had thrown his support, I suppose, behind these Put Australia First marches.
Okay, and a man handing out teal-coloured pamphlets caught your attention. Why? What stood out to you about him?
I was just looking at the crowd, looking at who was there and what was going on, and I saw a man moving through the crowd, handing out pamphlets. It just struck me as interesting. I wanted to know what he was spruiking. So I went up to him and asked for a pamphlet, and he handed one over, and I saw this name, Reform Australia. And of course, it put me in the mind of Reform UK, led by Nigel Farage, who post the Brexit campaign in the UK has been growing this Reform Party on an anti-immigration agenda. I asked to speak to the man if he wanted to be interviewed. He declined. He said he was only there to speak to the people, but it put me in a curious state of mind, I suppose. So I came back to the office and we started looking into just what this Reform Australia really was.
Okay. So the pair of you have been digging into this. Is Reform Australia connected to Nigel Farage's Reform UK, which, as you've mentioned, is surging in the polls over there in the UK?
The quick answer is no. So, of course, I reached out to Reform UK to say, hey, look, there's something called Reform Australia. Here's the website. Here's their pamphlet. And they said there was absolutely no connection. So this has started on its own down here.
And what do we know about the individual behind this group, Sarah?
Yeah, so Reform Australia is linked to Walter Villatora. Walter Villatora has been around the Sydney or New South Wales Liberal branches for many years. He perhaps was most notably Tony Abbott's campaign manager in the 2016 federal election. And he's a close ally of Tony Abbott. In the past, Tony Abbott has backed him for pre-selection. So he's been around for a while. He is behind the creation of this attempted political party in Australia. But his sort of recent history has veered a little bit from typical Liberal Party interests. Ariel and I looked into some of his other ventures in recent years, and we did see that Villatora has diverse interests, and it's something that Ariel looked into. Did you want to jump in there?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we were trying to dig into this new party, see who was behind it, who might be associated, I pulled up some business records associated with Villatora, and it showed that he is the co-owner of the company behind Turning Point Australia, which is a local franchise of the late Charlie Kirk's conservative outfit. Here in Australia, it's run by somebody called Joel Jamal, but both Jamal and Villatora were joint shareholders in this company behind Turning Point. So Turning Point, Charlie Kirk himself did these college campus tours where he quote unquote debated people over sort of hot bun culture war type topics. They created a list of academics, professors in the United States who were so-called, you know, enemies of free speech or who they accused of various things, including promoting like LGBTQ plus ideologies, quote unquote. Again, you know, quite a controversial group. Turning Point Australia says that it has a kind of brand deal with Turning Point USA in which they can use that branding. And Joel Jamal's been running this for many years now. I think it probably became best known during the pandemic. There was a lot of commentary from Turning Point Australia about the pandemic, about the lockdowns. But there's a lot of topics that they commentate on, looking over their feed in recent days on TikTok, at Facebook. You know, there's commentary about child grooming, questions of ABC content. There's content about immigration, all kinds of different topics. And when I reached out to Jamal to ask him if he was also part of this Reform Australia project, he said no. He said Villatora and himself were kind of in the process of splitting off their business interests because Turning Point Australia, Jamal said, is a third-party campaign and not a political party, and they want to maintain their own strict standards of separation with political parties. So he wished Walter all the best with the reform and said all those kind of formal ties will be severed from now on.
Okay, so Walter Villatora has had previous involvement with the Liberal Party. There are those past connections with Turning Point Australia and is now attempting to set up Reform Australia. Sarah, you tried to contact him. What did he say?
Yeah, so I gave him a quick call just to sort of talk through, I guess, some of the questions that I had to see whether it was still sort of connected to Turning Point, what his current relationship with the Liberal Party was. He sort of quite quickly said that he wasn't ready to talk to us and that he would get in touch with media when they're ready to talk. I later did follow up with him through some text messages and emails just to see whether he was still a member of the Liberal Party. Obviously, having a Liberal Party member who was also until recently a branch president in Sydney's North Shore, you know, reflects somewhat on the party itself. Mm-hmm. And he did respond to at least those questions to say that he had left the party.
According to some reports, he plans to formally register Reform Australia as a party in the coming weeks. He's told the Daily Telegraph that he intends to run candidates in both the lower house and in the upper house. What do political analysts and pundits say about the likelihood of a party like Reform, a newly established party, take off in Australia?
I think the Australian political system for a long time has made it particularly hard for new minor parties and independents to get into power. We've obviously seen that change over the last few elections, but what is the likelihood of another right-wing, conservative, populist party gaining more share of the vote in Australia, given how many we already have? We have United Australia Party, we have One Nation, which has obviously been rising since the federal election. Mm.
So where does Reform Australia fit into that political landscape? I spoke to electoral analyst Ben Rao, who sort of confirmed some of the suspicions that I had in terms of that fragmentation. Because Australia has a representative political system, we don't have first past the post. It's much harder for populist parties to gain the sort of power that you might see in other countries like the US, for example. And so Ben Rao really did say that, you know, they're sort of fighting for the same piece of the pie.
And obviously they're trading off this Reform name, and the Reform name has been rising in, I guess, brand recognition, for want of a better way to put it, especially in the UK, where polls do show it's surging, although it hasn't really been electorally tested at a kind of national level over the UK quite yet. And as part of our efforts to kind of gauge what the electorate reaction might be to a Reform Australia, we also spoke with Yaron Finkelstein, who is Scott Morrison's former chief political strategist and a political consultant now himself. And he pointed out that Nigel Farage, you know, is a real difference maker, I think, in the Reform UK situation. He said not only did Brexit provide a springboard for Farage's political ambitions, his political brand was 20 years in the making. Who is the Australian version of that? I think that is a good question. Walter Villatoro is very well known, perhaps in New South Wales Liberal political circles, but not a national brand name. There are one political candidate that seems to be forward-facing, I suppose, with Reform Australia at the moment is somebody called Ben Britton. He's featured in some of their Facebook ads so far, and he was a Liberal candidate for the 2025 election, but was let go, dumped from the Liberal campaign back in April for a variety of things. But he also had told Jamal's podcast, in fact, that women should not serve in defence combat positions due to the physical impact on their bodies, and made other various claims. So these aren't national brands, I suppose, and certainly not at Farage's level.
Okay, so whilst they may not be electorally successful, we are seeing the influence of these right-wing populist anti-immigration groups, whether it is One Nation or something like Reform Australia. We are seeing the impact that they're having on political discourse and the political climate through the major parties, particularly the coalition. Sarah, you've reported on the way that some members of the coalition have been looking to those parties for some of, I guess, for lack of a better term, inspiration around their policies.
Yeah, I think that's right. In certain electorates around the country, particularly ones held by Nationals, there is a genuine fear that One Nation candidates could actually increase their vote so substantially that it could create three-cornered contests, and potentially preferences could go towards either a Labor candidate or a One Nation candidate, and the Nationals member could effectively lose. But obviously that's an election in a few years' time. Obviously in recent weeks and months, really, we've seen the former Deputy Prime Minister and one time, or multiple times, Nationals leader Barnaby Joyce recently leave the party, joining One Nation at the next election as well. So that's obviously sort of on the political level, but then on the ideology level, a lot of the Liberal Party's membership base is ageing and typically tends to be quite conservative-leaning, agreeing with a lot of the views that we might see on Sky After Dark. And so there's a lot of pressure on the federal Liberal Party to sort of appease the base, essentially, the people that are paying their dues for membership, and that's sort of bringing a lot of the party's policy over towards the right on things like immigration, for example. We've seen an increase in the sort of rhetoric around cutting immigration levels, and it, you know, in some cases it has referenced certain immigrant groups. So we can see that sort of influence there from parties like Pauline Hanson's One Nation, where once it would have been unthinkable, or, you know, in recent years anyway, it would have been unthinkable to think of a mainstream major political party to parrot some of those same views. We're seeing that now in recent months.
And you even reported that Jacinta Nampajibpa Price promoted her attendance at one of these rallies before then later withdrawing.
Yeah, it was actually the rally that Ariel attended. She was announced as the headline speaker for the Sydney rally. I did ask her office reasons for attending and whether she sort of supported the attendance of someone like Tommy Robertson, even though he was just there virtually. We were told the next day that she had pulled out for personal family reasons, and that's sort of the only explanation reaction we got. So it was a very short-lived headline act, less than 24 hours, but obviously just even the fact that she would sign on to something like that and stand alongside people associated with One Nation and other sort of fringe parties is demonstrative of this idea that there are forces within the Liberal Party that are quite conservative-leaning and sort of favour some of this populist rhetoric.
We'll be right back.
I'm Barry Cassidy.
And I'm Tony Barry.
They say a day is a long time in politics. We've been away a couple of months, so a lot's happened in that time.
We had Spillvember. The Liberal Party found new ways to fail.
The government got its nature law through.
Barnaby kept on making about it himself. And the big story, the One Nation vote has doubled since the election.
So we're back. Two more episodes of Back to Back Barry's, the podcast.
That's a lot of backs.
Well, it is a lot of backs, but it's done now. So that's this Saturday before we return next year. Now look for us in the full story feed.
Okay, so we've seen members of the coalition being pulled further to the right. I wonder, what role does the media play in mainstreaming these populist right movements and their candidates? Ariel?
So, of course, Australia has a sort of strong contingent of its media that dabbles in this same kind of populist rhetoric, especially around immigration. The Financial Review recently reported that Sky News had been paying Nigel Farage to, I think, occasionally make appearances on this channel. And when I think about Farage's history here, I mean, he has come out here quite a bit. He obviously sees, you know, receptive audiences, people will buy tickets. His post-Brexit career saw him become a kind of touring nationalist speaker, I suppose. I think I saw him speak at the 2019 CPAC conference in Sydney. That, just to tell you how politics has changed at that time, he labelled Malcolm Turnbull as a snake. He said Malcolm Turnbull pretended to be a conservative but actually turned out to be a snake, I think was one of the more memorable lines from that event. In 2022, Turning Point, in fact, also promoted a speaking tour for Farage here as well. So those ties are long-standing both in the kind of political class but also in the media. And so we see the rhetoric that is growing in the UK being exported, taken up here and blended with our own long history of anti-immigration, populism and minor parties.
Mm. We know that right around the world, populist anti-immigration sentiment is on the rise. The progressive side of politics in the UK has failed to challenge or to combat the rise of the far right or the populist right. Keir Starmer's government has been, you know, accused of adopting and embracing some of those ideas. Is there more that the government here could be doing to arrest, to get ahead of some of the sensationalism, some of the fears within the electorate that may be pushing people towards right-wing parties and populist ideas?
Yeah, it's a really complicated issue because some of the reasons why people gravitate towards these parties is because they're telling them something that they're not hearing elsewhere from elected officials. Frustration and struggles among Australian community in terms of affordability, for example, just paying bills, but also housing affordability, the fact that many young people are locked out of ever buying their first home, or at least for many, many years. So I think that's what populist parties or populist leaders tend to do, is they latch on to the fact that there are people with grievances and they point out a boogeyman. In this case, many have pointed to immigration as being the reason why people can't afford their first house, rather than looking at the actual policies that led us to this point that we are. So what I think the federal government should be doing and could be doing, and it's not something that can happen in 2 weeks or even really a single term of government, is that they should be tackling these issues that have stopped Australians from sort of succeeding in all walks of life, looking at housing affordability and dealing with those sort of supply issues, which is what they're trying to do, but it's obviously not making the impact that it needs to at this point, and that's why people are looking politically for somewhere else to go.
We'll be keeping a close eye on it over the coming months. Ariel, Sarah, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
That was Guardian Australia's investigations reporter Ariel Bogle and political reporter Sarah Basford-Canales. You can find more of their work on theguardian.com, and we've linked to their latest investigation on the full story page if you'd like to read more. That's it for today. This episode was produced by Miles Herbert, sound design and mixing by Camilla Hannan. The executive producer of Full Story is Hannah Parks. If you like this episode, don't forget to subscribe or follow Full Story wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also leave us a review. I'm Noor Haidar. Thanks for listening.